Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
you got it! It's time for episode 607 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. You have reached Checkpoint Rawgus, the dog days of summer. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Dragon Boy Suede, a.k.a. Chart Link Later, Howard Kramer. What's up, Stard?
What's up, man? Good to be back home for a couple days again. And
Where are you coming back from?
Seattle last, and then our last show was here in LA yesterday. That was a big hump to get over. We did the full CBB World live show, so we had different CBB World shows opening for Comedy Bang Bang, so it was a big production.
Oh, I see. So it was a different show than you did on the rest of the tour?
Yeah, yeah. It was almost like a mini festival or something.
Right on. All right. You're over the hump. There's more tour ahead.
There
hey,
it is.
Well, we had a good time last week on Two Charted. We had a chanteuse quiz.
Yeah.
Right back in there. A listener sent in a chanteuse middle name quiz that we did.
That was incredible. And he was so smart. He sent the questions and then he sent an answer sheet that was in a separate link so that we couldn't get spoiled. It was really properly thought out. So yeah. If you missed those chanteuse quizzes, you can get one on Two Charted. You sign up for that on whochartedpod.com. Become a heat seeker or a chart topper to get all that bonus content.
There you go. Send in quiz ideas if you have them. That was a fun one to do. And also, I forget the names because I had some technical diffs at the manor here, so I couldn't look up the names. But shout out to whoever's been going back 10 years. There's somebody who's been going back 10 years and listening to Who Charted from 10 years ago to the very week and then kind of giving us their favorite and best quips that episode. So
it's really
been
amazing.
Awesome too.
It's cool. Yeah. Like there's like these great quotes that we forget. And that sort of that are nostalgic to read again because it's like exactly 10 years ago, and it's sort of amazing to even think we were
it's
doing.
Funny
this 10
to hear
years ago.
Stuff too that just you go, hey, that makes sense. Who said that? And it's like, oh, we said it. And they go, oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Should have remembered. that's all good. And thank you, everybody who's been heading over there to the Chart Mart. All right, let's bring in our guests. Here he comes, headed back to the charts. Gang, you know him from Comedy Bang Bang, Improv for Humans, the Screw It, We're Just Going to Talk About the Beatles podcast. And guess what? He's got 4 lines in the upcoming reboot of Night Court. Give it up for Will Hines.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
good to have you back.
I love it. I love Who Charted. I love being on this show.
Right.
I at least love Night Court. I remember very little about it, except that I strangely liked it, like as a kid.
Yeah, I loved it. I love the original show. So I'm psyched to be a 4-line part of the reboot that's coming up.
A lot of fun. Are you a criminal? Are you getting booked in the court? What's going on?
I'm another lawyer.
Ah,
no spoilers beyond that.
Okay. Do we know who's cast in the lead? Does the public know that?
Yeah, the public knows that. Melissa Rauch, who was an actress on The Big Bang Theory, she's the new judge. Her character is the daughter of Judge Harry Stone, the Harry Anderson judge in the original series. So this show is in the universe of the original Night Court.
Oh, interesting.
And John Larroquette's coming back in the show.
Well, I once had to go do jury duty, and the last name of the judge was Wapner. And he goes, if you're wondering, yes, he is my father. He was related to
really?
Judge Wapner. Yeah.
Whoa.
So interesting stuff. That was in the same universe as People's Court.
Yeah, right.
The same universe here.
That real court was in the same continuity of People's Court.
Right on. And then who's got the John Larroquette role? Who's doing that?
John Larroquette's doing it. John Larroquette himself.
Is that Bull?
Really?
No. John Larroquette is the sort of cynical, sour district attorney.
Oh, okay.
Dark hair, tall, drink of water guy. He's back.
Wow. Okay. So is he, is Marky Post back too, or is he the only one?
I believe Marky Post has passed on, I think. So.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Whoa. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no, sad. So she was unavailable by God to be a part of this show.
Wow. Was she,
or
did
the
she
devil.
Have to be recast?
Or Satan the devil. Might have taken her.
Yes. Cause she was the, district attorney. Oh, John Larroquette's the defense attorney. Marky Post played the district attorney, and there'll be a new district attorney. And I don't remember what actor is doing that.
Right on. All right. Well, let's find out what music. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know, Will, I think the first time I ever worked with you, you were playing a lawyer, and it was cracking my shit up. Because it was for the Hollywood Handbook,
mm-hmm.
and they were supposedly renegotiating their contract with Scott.
Yeah,
and
this is how I met all the Earwolf people. Was Sean Clements, who'd been a friend of mine from New York, brought me and my friend Neil Casey on to be his and Hayes Davenport's lawyers to argue for a higher salary from Scott Aukerman and Jeff Ulrich. They were not paid at the time. Yeah. And we were asking for like $100,000 a year, or I don't remember what the bit was, but
it was really funny. And I remember you two being like fresh from New York and being
I'd been in LA for maybe a month, and Clements, you know, had us on Handbook, which was really just starting. I think it was like a year in, or maybe not even. And Aukerman came up to us after, was like, you guys should be on Bang Bang.
Oh, wow. So that was the genesis.
That's when I met Scott.
Everything.
Yeah. So I was really grateful
Who was the connect there? Who was responsible for you coming in?
Sean Clements.
Oh, there you go.
Big time. Big time connect.
Sean.
I mean, just being on his show was great. Like, I love just being on his show. That was a huge thing. But then to meet Scott and to get to go on Comedy Bang Bang was a thrill. So, that's right. I was a lawyer.
Right on. We'll see if you can argue for some of these songs here on the music chart.
Great segue. Here we
go. Prosecute some of these tunes. Music. We used to play LPs. 8-tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. If you're a chartist, NFTs. All right. What chart do we have this week?
All right. We have the Shazam chart. Good old Shazam.
Right on. Still the best app, I think. The best. The best.
Yeah. And one of the best charts. Like, I take a look at it and I feel like it's a good, honest cross section of what's happening right now.
Yeah. Okay. It's the streets talking.
Billboard is way out of step, I think. Every time I try to take a look back at the Billboard chart, which has the highest prestige, it seems like it's about 6 months behind.
Yeah. Billboard's like Facebook. It's just, it's behind. It's corporate. It's parents.
Yeah.
I think even when you look at the magazine, what is all that shit? Can you give me the charts and maybe some pictures of the artists? I mean, that whole thing is just how depressing was that first time you looked at Billboard and it's just all those weird production companies slapping each other on the back.
And right.
It's just so nothing to do with music.
I picture like cologne ads in there now.
Yeah.
You smell the page.
Yeah, it's very industry. It's very like industry facing.
Not me, man. That's the way I like it. Get the personalities yeah. out of music, you know?
Yeah,
The record yeah. labels are the real heroes and they deserve the thanks. So I'm in yeah. favor of that.
The current A&Rs, that's what I want to know. Who's over where?
Kurt Cobain was kind of important to Nirvana, but Sub Pop was the real hero. And David Geffen was number two.
Oh,
there you go.
Hey, here's a funny little story.
Who distributed Nirvana? That's what I want to know.
That's right.
Here's a funny little thing that happened to us on the way to Seattle is Drew Tarver overheard at the Burbank Airport, Francis Bean up to the terminal,
wow.
gate three, wow. Francis Bean. And it was on our flight to Seattle.
Oh my God.
Damn. Important plane. Oh boy, that pilot had pressure on him.
Unless yeah. it was another Francis Bean from Seattle.
Come on.
But what are the odds? I think there's only one Francis Bean ever.
Oh, I would have spent the
did
whole
you,
flight.
Did you look for her on the plane when you guys were boarding?
I didn't because he told that after we landed. So I don't know. Oh, I don't think he saw her either, but man.
He didn't see her.
That's amazing to hear that.
Yeah. Hey, congrats on that. I would immediately just
asked her out on a date. How do you think that would have gone?
I don't know. It feels like you'd have to be so cool.
Oh, I think it would have totally worked. I would have let her know my improv background. I'm sure that would have charmed her.
Yeah. Yes. And?
All right. Coming in at number five.
Number five.
Beyoncé's Break My Soul. Bringing back CNC Music Factory.
Yeah. Pump Up the Jam and all that stuff.
Right. I do like it, though.
I do, too. It was a weird time. It was like when bike pants were in and the...
That's Technotronic, right? Not CNC.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's Technotronic. I was just trying to think of other songs from that era. But everybody ran around in bike pants, and it was kind of a... There wasn't a super long era for that music.
No, it really wasn't. But it sticks out in my mind. It felt
Nina Cherry and Buffalo Dance, is that is that time? Buffalo Stance?
Oh, wow.
Buffalo Stance, yeah. Urban Dance Squad, they weren't really the same music there around that time. Anyway, she brought it back pretty successfully. I mean, it's like, it sounds like it's new to kids. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to have been around long enough to hear stuff just come back and be like, you guys are excited by this thing that you would have loathed 10 years ago. Not Beyonce, but like the sounds that she's sampling.
Right.
Yeah. It's odd.
It feels a little like
Amoeba.
To me, it feels a little like she forced that comeback because there's a lot of like retro stuff that's gone on in the last 10 years. But usually it all kind of sounds like they're picking from the same sources. And this one really came out of left field for me. Like Beyonce's just declaring like this is an era I'm trying to bring back right now.
Mm.
Like I haven't heard that sound brought back in a while.
And she did it almost naked on the horse. I mean, look at that album cover.
Right. Yeah.
She's giving. She's generous.
Coming in at number four.
Number four.
LTD with Love Ballad.
What a difference a true love made in my life.
This must be from a TV show or something, right?
Yeah, why is this on?
It's got to be from a movie or a TV show. Because that's just Lou Rawls or something.
This is from 1976.
Oh, it is? Oh, that, LTD. It's an actual oldie. Wow.
Yeah.
They're getting the Kate Bush treatment. Yeah, it's got to be from Stranger Things or something.
Yeah, it's definitely not Stranger Things, but I'm you guys speak for a little bit. I want to Google this.
Well, LTD, so is this like a British corporation outfit? Is that what we got here?
Yeah, they sell petroleum. Yeah.
Just some sort of northern oil kind of situation. They just want to. Yeah, or they just like the idea of being limited.
They were a funk band from the 70s. But yeah, they got this song, and it's just, I was, because after you were saying, like, wow, Beyonce brought back that sound, I was like, wow, who's bringing back this sound all of a sudden? But nobody. It's a re-release, I guess. Did you find anything?
I'm not finding anything.
I've got something to say, and it's about I made a misstatement about Night Court earlier I'd like to correct. I said that John Larroquette played the public defender, but he was the district attorney. The late Marky Post played the public defender. I'm sure a lot of big Night Court fans were upset that I got that reverse. So I just want to say that I had that wrong and I apologize.
Next, you'll tell me Bull has hair.
No way, man. I won't ever disrespect Bull's legacy.
Don't disrespect me looking like Bull with hair.
He must be one of the proudest hairless, you know, 80s figures. Bull.
What? Yeah.
Can we go while you're looking stuff up? Brett, yeah. Howard, that Beyonce song, I what is the sample? What does that sound like? Doom, 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 doom,
doom. I don't know if it's even like...
It's not a sample, that's just a tone or whatever?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that's been used like 700 million times. I'm sure it's like traceable to one person, but it's just that kind of house sound, you know?
Yeah, it really reminds me of something. It's not... Kylie Minogue's Can't Get You Out of My Head. No. It's not that, but it's something. It is some... I know what you're saying. It's not a sample of a song, but I think like there is some signature use of that keyboard thing from like 1990 that I can't quite pin down in my brain. Yeah. And it is.
It's something they would always cut into dance mixes and stuff like that.
It says it contains two samples, one from Show Me Love by Robin S.,
yeah, that sounds right. Show me love.
That's from 92.
That might be it then.
That's it.
Oh, yeah. Like this.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, that's funny. It's like, that's almost a preset on certain keyboards. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like you say, it probably was in a million songs. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there, that was what I was thinking of.
There it is.
There's so much based on just those presets. Like a new model of keyboard came out in 1991.
Yeah.
Somebody made the hit song with that preset and just owned it.
Yeah.
A lot of raps changes with the keyboards. Depeche Mode, they say sound like a preset.
One of the keyboards, you hit a button, it just said, "That girl is poison." And then those guys were the first ones to do it. Yeah. So
did you say Depeche Mode for that? That's Belle Biv DeVoe, right?
No, I misheard. I misheard Howard saying Depeche Mode. I said one of the modes on the keyboard. Oh, yeah.
The Depeche Mode. It's a preset on a Casio.
Yeah. They said... I think I mentioned it on a previous one, but there's a great video with talking about this little guitar box that Tom Scholl from Boston invented. And it was a tiny thing in the 80s. And it was almost a precursor to like a amp emulation that they have everywhere now, like digital amps.
Yeah.
But it's a really fascinating little box. And if you just plugged straight into it, you could plug headphones out straight out of the box and it would sound like you're plugged into an amp, or you could just plug it straight into a mixer. And so what I discovered, what they said in the video, if you plug that thing in and you just go through the presets, it's exactly Def Leppard's Hysteria. Like the whole the whole album, it just sounds exactly like that from the get out of this little shitty little box. And it's that just That was just mind-blowing to me, because I think of that album as Mutt Lange creating this incredibly advanced, polished new sound using the most advanced state-of-the-art studio techniques. And it turns out it's just that little practice box.
Something from the guy who gave us More Than a Feeling.
Yeah, exactly. It is just straight to the board. It's really cool. I love finding shit like that out. All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
One Republic, I Ain't Worried. Is One Republic
Peter Bourne and John? Go ahead.
Is he the group that has with that songwriter guy who was on that show for a bit? You know, the one that we watched where the songwriters would come in and pitch songs.
Yeah. What you're saying, was this guy in a band with that guy?
Well, no, is One Republic that guy, or am I getting that confused?
Oh, Ryan Tedder? Is that who it is? Yeah, that's One Republic, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like a workshop song. You know what I mean? Like, let's have it sound a little like this and a little like that. It just sounds like a day of work.
Yeah.
In the studio.
Will, did you ever watch that show? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I wish I did.
Songland. It's called Songland.
Oh, I had heard of it. Yeah, I've never seen it.
It's kind of interesting. It's pretty entertaining. It's like both good and bad, but like these people come in almost like American Idol, but it's about songwriters.
Yeah.
And then this panel of, you know, Ryan Tedder and these other people with all these credits, you know, pick apart their song immediately. And it's really funny seeing them all start going like, whoa, what if in the verse it started going boom, dap, doom, doom, ba, and then they all start getting into that. And you see this person who's probably worked on this song for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Just get it.
Just have it be dismissed.
Yeah. Morphed into something else.
They bring their little baby up into Songland, and the judge is like, well, if the melody is totally different and it's about something else, it might be good.
Right. And then they just make it up for them.
Yeah. It's like, if I take it and I do this with it, maybe you got a shot.
Yeah.
Or just take it back to Peoria with you. Leave it the way it is.
Right.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Okay. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Steve Lacy, Bad Habit.
I bite my tongue, it's a bad habit. Kinda mad that I didn't take a step at it. Thought you were too good for me, my dear. Never gave me time of day, my dear. It's okay, things happen for reasons that I think are sure, yeah. I wish I knew.
That's very popular. Oh,
Peter Bjorn's back.
Yeah.
I like that song. I guess, parents don't understand it or something.
I feel like every pop song of the last 10 years, people just sound like they recorded it while they're like leaning against a wall. Like they are just hanging out. Like they just rolled out of bed and they're sipping coffee. They pick up a microphone and they just do the vocal. Like it all sounds like, no one sounds like they're in a hurry.
And maybe it's because like they just all do it off their head now. Like it's kind of looked down upon to bring in prepared stuff. So they all just are kind of like in the studio making it up as they go along.
Well, it's kind of like Twitter or, you know, online chatter, where if it comes off too high effort, like if you properly punctuate everything and you're capitalizing your words, it almost just loses something. It's way cooler to just be all lowercase and off punctuation.
Your words have to have bedhead. They have to look like you've been.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything I'm saying on this show, I wrote hours ago.
You know what I mean? Man.
Yeah.
I bear down on it hard.
We had that in the first year of the show. We had someone who came in with a prepared, like, They looked up the charts ahead of time and just had like prepared material written
That's
down.
That's so funny.
Like best week ever kind of attitude towards it.
Yeah.
Right.
Squeezing in the quips. Yeah.
Hey, do you think 10 years from now, someone will take my correction of my Night Court fact and tell you guys that that was their favorite clip from this show?
I was
like
going to have
10 years from now when...
I hope
I was
so.
Saying I was going to have Start edit it out so it just looked like you really thought that first thing you said.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be forever wrong.
Yeah, chop the correction. Leave you hanging.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to look bad.
Oh, by the way, I never found out about that LTD love ballad, like why that's on this chart. And I think that's a perfect opportunity to write in to us at whocharted@gmail.com. If you
if you
know
that song, let us know why all of a sudden that is getting Shazammed. Maybe it's in a commercial, but I would imagine TikTok? It's got to be TV or movies. Or, yeah, it could be TikTok, yeah.
Could be. Someone out there knows. Let us
Someone out there knows, but we don't
know. Because I'll forget that it was even an issue immediately after this.
Right.
All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Kate Bush, Running Up That Hill.
Damn.
My God. Two in one chart.
People are still trying to figure this one out.
Maybe she shouts out that other song somewhere in this song. So it got popular.
I find it really interesting how the ripple effect works in pop culture. How if something is really big, how it naturally stays big and fades out. It doesn't just drop off, you know, like Serial, the podcast. I remember it still being on top of charts like years later.
Oh, like, right.
It feels like everyone just has one phase where they go through it, but then it just ripples through segments.
There's
of
a long
society.
Tail while other segments right. get
yeah.
to it.
Yeah. So Kate Bush is on that ride right now.
She is. Like, there's probably like super old people that are getting to it for the first time. There's super young people getting to it for the first time. They meet at a home or something.
Right.
I listened to your guys' Joel Spence episode. Joel Spence.
Oh, yeah, you did?
Yeah, I loved it. You know, Joel and I are in a band and we're friends. Of course, me and Brett and Joel do a podcast together. So I was happy to listen to that episode. But he mentioned that with Kate Bush, there's some ritual where everybody goes out and like dances along with something. Did you guys figure out what that is?
That's right.
I was guessing that it was Wuthering Heights, but.
I think I guessed that maybe in the episode, but
you did.
I wasn't
that,
sure.
You guessed that in the episode, but like. That was never confirmed. Maybe that's something else people can write in.
Yeah, please write anything like that. Write us in.
Anything like that.
Anytime we're wrong or actually not when we're wrong, when we're openly wondering something, let us know. I don't want to invite too much.
It is Wuthering Heights. I just found it. A flash mob event.
Okay.
Called the most Wuthering Heights Day ever, officially created in 2016, where fans gather in locations around the world to recreate the red dress video, the dance that she does in the Wuthering Heights video where she wears a red dress. Okay.
Right. I think you know that was her.
I didn't need to do all this on this episode. I could have done this on my own. I apologize for wasting space.
Issue a correction, please.
Yeah. I think for people back then, I wasn't one of them, but from what I can tell, Wuthering Heights was the most like impact that she made. Like that was a very bizarre thing to see in pop culture. It was very strange. And
that was her
strange.
First single and she was like 17 and it just like, exploded. And it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
But Running Up That Hill was pretty big also. And then that one she did with Peter Gabriel too. Don't Give Up, I think.
That feels like when she was a little bit tamer or like a little bit more polished for pop culture.
True.
Where
that's
Wuthering
true.
Heights, she her voice is full really feral. Yeah, feral is a good word for it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She's good.
Johnny Rotten.
I didn't know she was so young when she came out.
She was 17 or 18 when that happened.
Dave Gilmore discovered her and she was like 16 and already had 1,000 songs or something like that.
Oh, really? Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's really crazy.
She always seemed old to me. I don't picture her as a teen. It's kind of like, what's her name? Helen Hunt. You picture her as like a teen.
Right. Or Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. Yeah.
there's a blessing in going that gray that early because you just have this long career ahead where you're always the same age to people. That's the music chart.
There you go.
Still on top.
That's amazing. She's still there, and then all their oldies are squeezing in right behind her. Incredible, incredible. And we'll find out if the movie chart has surprises for us as well. We'll be right back.
Greetings, Chartists. I'm here to tell you about Factor. They're sponsoring today's episode, and I am a big fan of Factor. I've been subscribing myself to their meal service, and I love it. So I'm not just a podcaster, I'm a client. So eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. They're not lying right there. Every single meal is 2 minutes flat in the microwave. I wouldn't even mind going for 3 minutes. I mean, I have a spare minute, but no, 2 minutes, you're good. It's hot, it's delicious, it's fresh tasting. I don't know how they do it. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. I think I'm on the Protein Plus. I love it. And it feels like no two meals are alike. There's a lot of options there. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. I actually haven't taken advantage of that yet. I'm excited to. That sounds great. I have had some of their drinks. They got some like smoothies and like cold brew lattes. They're delicious and they're just perfect on the go, super quick. I often forget to eat. I got all these podcasts I'm making, recording, editing. Oops, I'm all of a sudden starving. I have no time to eat. And Factor has been a godsend for that reason. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. And if you're looking for something even more gourmet, try these premium ingredients they have, like filet mignon shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Wow, this is giving me all sorts of ideas to upgrade my next delivery. So it's no fuss, no mess meals. Totally eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave and it's so good. And the textures are all right. It's not like microwave dinners of old that are like encrusted onto the plastic. No, it feels like somebody made this dinner from scratch for you and just put a little plastic over it. It's fully ready to heat up and serve. Tailored to your schedule, you can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. You can pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. I had to take a couple weeks off at one point. It was super easy to go to the website, just skip a week here and there. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. You say it's your Earth Day. Well, happy Earth Day to you. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. That's pretty cool. So head to factormeals.com/WhoCharted50 and use code WhoCharted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. Wow, that's code WHOCHARTED50 at factormeals.com/WHOCHARTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Factor.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
My name is H. Michael Cray, and I'm here with my guests, Will Hines.
Will Hines.
And
Brett Morris.
Brett Morris, and this is The Movies Chart.
Movies, they're just like tweets. They release them constantly. Most of them we don't need to see. But when you get a good one, ooh-wee, movies.
These are the movie chart. We'll see if that business can survive. Let's find out.
Coming in number five.
Number five.
We got Nope.
Nope.
Mm. Holy shit, it's real. Okay, tell me when you see it.
There. That crowd doesn't move.
Did we see this? Did any of the three of us see this movie?
I have seen it.
Oh, you did?
Oh, you have?
I did, yes.
I do want to see it.
I had not eaten dinner. And I was in a bad
mood.
Oh, that's bad.
Big difference, yeah.
And low blood sugar is no way to receive a piece of art.
I know. I was a little underwhelmed, but all of my friends loved it. So I know that I'm off base on this one.
Okay. We were just talking before the show, Will and I, about like the show yesterday, the CBB World Live show. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a big production and the planning that went into that. And I was just saying, it was interesting to hear Scott's thoughts on it and putting it together from like based on his experience with these big like PCAST, Blast, and these other shows we put on. And he was very big on allowing people to eat dinner before the show. Because we've done shows in previous years that would start, that had these amazing podcast lineups, everyone's favorite, you know, podcast from that world. And it'd be like 3 p.m. It would start at 3 p.m. or something. But then what we realized is like by the end of the show at like 11, people are like weird and hungry and they want to go.
Right, it's like an EST meeting where they got you locked, like a church locked.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense.
When you first said that, I thought you were saying he lets the performers eat so they don't have low blood sugar. But you're saying he's kind enough to let the audience out to go get food.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, he wants them to eat dinner before they sit down so they're not.
That is gracious.
Yeah.
That is smart. Yeah.
And feeding the
performers too. I mean, I've been on some of his shows. There's usually food back there. That's smart too.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it's nice to eat beforehand.
That's not how I would do it.
You wouldn't eat. You do a hunger strike.
Yeah, I'd keep people sharp. You know, make them. I'd be like, hey, you know, you do a good act, then I'll feed you.
Okay, survival instincts that can work.
I'm curious. Do you guys ever feel funnier, like when you're really tired or hungover or anything like that? Are you always better?
Well, I think when you're loopy, you could start to think everything's funny.
Yeah.
I know some guys, they did a show called Delirium where they used to stay up 24 hours before they did the show. They actually, they would just get into this crazy place mentally and then perform the show. And there was two guys that did it, Leon and Andy. And one of them, Andy, is now the director of the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They came out as performers. And HBO did not pick up Delirium. That was their show where they would stay up 24 hours and then do crazy improv.
That's a good idea for a show.
Yeah, like it was great.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk produced it. It was a whole thing. They came from Austin and they did this show. And then it's just really like hit or miss because they have to stay up, but they're not always going to be on because they're so fucking loopy.
Right.
So they just kind of had this one shot where all the HBO execs are there. And then these guys have been up and they're sweaty and crazy.
Oh, man. That really does set themselves up. they can't blame anyone but themselves.
Yeah. Like, why didn't you get a good night's sleep? We're not supposed to.
That's interesting. Yeah, I bet, you know, Del Close Marathon brings out those moments for you guys for sure.
Yeah, the all-night UCB festivals definitely would be kind of fun to have everybody just be exhausted like at 4 in the morning and see what happens. I remember seeing good improv shows at 4 in the morning and just being so surprised, like standing in the back being like, wait, this show's good. And they've been up for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I used to love that.
Anyone who can stay dedicated like that, I appreciate it.
Anyway, on the Nope trailer, it says rated M, sustained threat and coarse language. I've never seen that as like a warning.
Threat.
Sustained
threat.
Yeah,
that threat. Is odd. Sustained threat. Like you're just going to be tense for a long time. That's a great warning.
Yeah.
warning you about the genre, you know, like that'd be like on a rom-com being like feelings of optimism and levity may. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like there's going to be emotions. Who fought for that to get through? Somebody been out there like, you know, campaigning. You've got to tell them yeah. there's a sustained threat.
Yeah, it's not just a bit of a threat. It's so long.
It's sustained. It's how long it lasts.
All right, coming in at number four.
Number four.
Thor, Love and Thunder.
Oh, spoke too soon.
Jane?
The old ex-girlfriend.
Sweet child of mine.
That's a sweet child of mine baseline. Sure. They're taking Duff's baseline and making it the lead.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. It seems way wackier even than the last one. Will, have you seen it? I'm interested in your.
You know, I have not
this.
Seen this one. So okay. I get a little Marvel weary of the movies, and I need a break sometimes. And I'm still trying to catch up on the Disney Plus shows, so I kind of let this one go. Plus, the word of mouth wasn't solid on it.
No, no.
You know, people are. I'm getting a lot of meh yeah. on this mm-hmm. one. So
a lot of meh.
But as a big comic book guy, this isn't like your, you know, Thor, your dream era. This isn't your renaissance with all.
It
these
has
Marvel
been.
Movies.
I do appreciate how many good, you know, just how much solid. I was my brother and I who are comic book fans like. We appreciate that we live in a wealth of yeah. like solid movies. Like that is kind of incredible, but unfortunately it's harder to be wowed now. Any one of these in like 1995 mm-hmm. would have blown my mind completely wide open.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
now it's like, well, I don't know. Game of Thrones maybe had better special effects and drama than a lot of these. And
yeah,
that just means we're being yeah. spoiled by good stuff. But also Thor is not my guy. You know, I never was a Thor guy. Like, I'll see Spider-Man anything.
Gotcha. But,
Thor's hard to relate to. He just seems like he's from another world. Doesn't have the same problems. Whereas Spider-Man yeah. is.
Well, it's just weird that in the 60s Marvel Comics world, one of the main creators, Jack Kirby, was just like, I like the Norse gods. We'll yeah. just have one of our superheroes be a Norse god. Right. Like, none of yeah. the other
I always was thrown off by that.
There's no
yeah,
Jesus.
Why isn't he just like Hammer Man? You know, yeah, like why is he Thor?
Hammer Man.
Yeah.
If Jesus is not in there. Buddha's
there's no
not
Roman
Jesus.
Gods. There's no Native American. I mean, I think there are now, but like of the big OG Marvel characters, there's right. just a bunch of guys got radiation poisoning, but it worked out. And then also Thor.
Thor. Yeah, he just shows
he
up.
He can't wait to work with these mutated humans.
Yeah.
He's a damn god. It's senseless, but hey, the Walt Simonson era was great. That
of
was
course,
great
yeah.
Thor.
The Walt Simonson oh, comics wow. I adore. Oof.
What's your favorite, like, you know, non Spider-Man character, like one that we might not have read so much about?
Well, I mean, you know, X-Men, of course, you know, but like of the non like huge, Daredevil. I mean, Daredevil okay. is pretty
Daredevil,
big, but Daredevil,
yeah.
Daredevil was really my number two because in the 80s, there was some Daredevil comics that were incredible, and I'm still...
I read those, too. Those were great. Frank yes, Miller stuff.
The Frank Miller stuff, so...
Those were disappointing. Those movies, I mean, as soon as they cast Ben Affleck as Daredevil, I was out.
I was
That's
out,
a
too.
Long
yeah,
time
the TV
now.
Series was okay. There still has not been a great Daredevil adaptation, given how great the comics were. The Question is a hero I liked a lot, and he's not really he's a DC guy, and although superhero fans would know The Question, he's not like a big top-tier dude, and I love The Question. Yeah.
How about Kazaa? Do you remember Kazaa?
Boy, I remember the downloading software.
Yeah, I remember
I don't remember the
Kazaa. I think Kazaa was Marvel's version of Tarzan. Like, sometimes DC and Marvel would do cheap knockoffs of their... I don't know if I'm getting that right, but I think that's who he was.
Is it Kazaar? I think it's Kazaar. Or
is it Kazaar? Okay. That's how British people say it. Kazaar.
Kazaar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember Kazaar, yes.
Did you ever go up to Tarzan
ripoff. Even almost the same letters are in it. It's like...
Yeah. And then when you went to the Marvel Cafe up at Universal City Walk, they had the Kazaa wings, like the, instead of it like being to Tarzan. Did you ever go up there? Was that here? That was probably gone by the time you came out.
Yeah, I didn't see the Marvel wing of that.
Yeah, it was crazy. My friend stole pasta bowls and stuff. They had a good stuff.
They really
there. I got some menus.
They really got rid of that too early. That was hasty. I bet they're kicking themselves. Right? Like, wait, what? You got rid of the Marvel wing?
Like, I know. Everybody would have been going straight from the movie to the to Shitstorant.
All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Oh, switching gears here to DC. DC League of Super Pets.
Jump, everybody, jump!
And I'm up.
Okay, Crypto.
We'll go for a walk.
I have an owner, and he's Superman.
Let me just iron that out. You should call me Iron Man. No. My dog's the best, but he's not the greatest with other animals.
So, it's about Crypto, Superman's dog. You read those ones?
Right on.
I did, yeah. I remember Crypto, yeah. I also remember the Super Horse and the Super Car and Red
and Blue.
There
was a Super Horse?
There was a Super Horse for a while, and... Red and Blue Superman. Yeah, I'm not in a real big hero to watch this one.
You're not in a real big hero.
Is that what you said? Hurry. That's what I did say.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got heroes on the brain.
Not a big hero to see that one.
No idea why I said that. That's insane. That's the weirdest, not quite right word to have said.
Real big hero.
That's cool to know what I'm going to be like when my brain finally gives out. I'll just start putting close adjacent words into the sentence.
You know what I've started doing? What I've started doing along those lines that's concerning to me is like in writing, like quickly writing a text to someone, like sort of just skipping a word somehow.
Mm.
And then when I read over it again, there's just a key word in there that I just didn't even, like I just omitted.
Yeah.
And it's like troubling to me because I know I never used to do that. It's like, what happened in my brain at that moment?
Then it happens on Twitter. It's worse because everybody sees it.
Right. Right. All right. Early Alzheimer's coming in at number two.
Number two.
Top Gun Maverick.
What do we have here?
Yeah, here I thought we were special.
Fellas, this here's Bagman.
Hangman.
Whatever.
What the hell kind of mission is this?
As great as this movie is, I still don't think I'm going to wind up seeing it in theaters. Do you know what I mean? Like, they did it. They did it. Like, they did the impossible. They made this great movie. And I still feel myself not going to go to it. And I bet there's a lot of Americans who feel the same.
Right, you're speaking for them. The silent majority.
I am part of the market. I mean... Yeah. I just think there's nothing they could do for some people.
I hear you. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, and I've been excited about it. But I just haven't. I don't know. It's hard sometimes to get out to the movies.
What do you think? What could get you out? What could they do?
Hand job.
Yeah. Oh, two. Hand job.
Yeah, I had to say it twice in case there was a buffer delay. That was important. I had to make sure they got out.
You know, I think a lot comes down to Who else is ready to see it?
Listen, I saw Dracula 2000. I got a hand job. I'll be honest with you. I'll put it right out there. Nice. I would never have remembered that movie. I would never even remember that I saw it. Yeah. And it was one of the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life. So if they did that, I'm there. I'm all there for Maverick, for sure.
Yeah. I remember The Cell, which is like the J-Lo. I remember that movie for similar reasons.
Oh, you got
And then also, like, why that movie? It was really, there was disturbing, grotesque shit happening on screen.
Right.
And a lot of action.
It was like a challenge. Can I get start to pay attention to me?
I remember kind of slightly in the middle, like being like, whoa, what's happening on screen? Like, slightly feeling like I'm missing something that I think.
Oh, yeah. I got to need to know this cool. for it.
Yeah.
In a few minutes. Good times. Was that at the Arclight? Where was that? At the Grove?
I wasn't in LA at that point. But
feels like an AMC Americana thing to go down.
Century 16. Yeah. Century. It was Century Theaters.
Yeah, you want to do it in a multiplex in case you get caught. Yeah. You could run into another theater. Was that number one?
No, that was number two. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah.
It was Brad Pitt.
Talk to me.
I am ready. You are getting the new and improved me. Because if you put peace out in the world, you get peace back.
I think you might be forgetting what you do for a living. Take the gun.
Every job I do, somebody does.
Did you hear that they were saying day in the life instead of staying alive?
Yeah, I heard that the lyrics seem different.
Yeah, like, what is that? It wasn't even like just a remake. It was like they changed the words.
Yeah. but it sounded like the exact same song.
Yeah, musically, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, maybe it was like AI took it over. It rewrote it.
That's how they got Brad Pitt. They're like, we'll improve the lyrics to Stayin' Alive if you do this.
He's like, oh, right.
Maybe Ryan Tedder did that.
He's like, I don't have booze anymore. That sounds good. I need a high of some kind. You'll change that song. Let's go.
I don't know. I don't know much about this movie, but sometimes from a trailer, you know, they just have a certain look and pacing that seems like it might be good.
The trailer was really exciting. Man, I feel old, but all of those movies, they all just seem so loud. Like, what's the quietest movie of those five? Like, those are some loud movies.
But yeah, they're all pretty
really loud.
Probably DC League of Super Pets is the most introspective one of the five.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
Their sustained threat will have some quiet, but that sustained threat will be noise of a sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Loud is the new soft.
I remember I saw like John Wick 2 in theaters or something, and I liked the John Wick, that series, but it was so loud, it was actually hurting me.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to leave. It was just blasting. It's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I wear the earplugs even at the movies, and if you miss a little dialogue, it's still a better experience than to have them off.
Yeah. All right, that's the movie chart.
Right on. We loved it, and we'll see another one next week. But we'll be right back with the hot picks.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than Shazam. Ooh, that's going to be tough. We'll find out.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
Howard's up first. This is Glorilla and Hit Kid with FNF.
I'm F-R-E-E, full nigga free.
That mean I ain't gotta worry about no fuck nigga cheat. And I'm S-I-N-G-L-E again. Outside hanging out the window with my ratchet ass friends. I'm F-R-E-E, fuck nigga free. That mean I ain't gotta worry about no fuck nigga cheat. And I'm S-I-N-G-L-E again. Outside hanging out the window with my ratchet ass friends.
Go.
Are you watching the video?
Yeah, I am.
They look like they're 15 or 16 and they're just like out there talking shit. That's a fun rap song. This hasn't been that fun of a period or a summer for rap. And that's a fun one. And I'm glad that it's out.
Yeah, it looks like a group of friends with an iPhone, you know, filming their music video. Like it's,
and they're all just
very
talking shit and drinking and twerking. And then they're all out there. It's just, it looks like a good time.
In Vancouver, we walked down this alley, like to get to the theater.
Your favorite thing. Give it up.
I know. Give it up. It was a gross alley, but, we saw all these kids in a similar way, all dancing. And one of them was shining a light like on the other one. And we realized they were filming a music video and it was super funny to see.
Influencers in the wild. It's always funny to see.
It's just impossibly awkward. I don't know how they do that, like sustain eye contact with the little camera.
I know. I was even thinking of this when I was watching that video for this song. I was just like, she doesn't give a shit. She's out there drunk with her friends. Like, I think it must be easier to make music videos when you've got like 10 of your best friends behind you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is. It's weird to like, sit there for your whole song and like, stare at the camera.
Play for the camera and not be like, oh, I feel stupid. Like this is weird. Okay, coming in at number four.
Number four.
This is Will's first pick. I'm giving him two because I'm behind on my hot picks today. This is Haley Steinfeld featuring Anderson .Paak with Coast.
You can question my devotion. Wear my heart on my shoulder. Just relax and let the changes and all the people that I like to hang with, they all been saying that I ain't the same. Listen, I've been chilling with you for a couple days. If you ain't afraid, me and you should rage in the sun rays. Come on out the cage, don't want to tame, live it your way.
That's a fun one. It's like a good summer song. Good vibe.
Yeah, just good pop song. Someone just texted it to me and said, this is the song of the summer. I have no idea if they're right. But I listen
to it.
It
might be. I mean, it's classy. It's like, it's not like a disposable pop song. It's kind of a classy summer song.
Was that Nancy Pelosi texting you that? She's been texting me a lot.
Pelosi was like, I think this is the song of the summer. And I was like, if you say so, Nance, I'm with you.
Yeah. It's just like, listen, Will, no time to act. This is the song of the summer.
Yeah. It's been outraised. If you want this to be the song of the summer, you have to get money now. To this record label. I'm like, I'm all about record labels, Nance. You know me.
Yeah. Yeah. I really am sick of these political texts. I feel like some rule has been just blown wide open. Like, weren't there supposed to be laws against that?
I've unsubscribed from some and I've been aggressively unsubscribing from all email solicitations and it has stemmed the tide a little bit.
I think that's my problem is I'm always too lazy to actually do that. I just get mad.
I always think it's not going to work. Like, oh, they're not going to listen. They're still sending me stuff.
I do feel like when you unsub, then they just pass it to 10 more.
I get that worry myself, but I've done it anyway.
I've been getting texts that aren't political. They're more just like, it's someone trying to act like we're in the middle of some conversation. Let them I don't have the hammer. Did you give it to Jim? And then like you're supposed to get sucked into their text.
Oh,
somehow. Weird. Yeah. I've been getting a lot of those. I'm trying to find one now. I can't find any now, but I've been getting them regularly.
What if it's from like a best friend you just blocked out of your mind?
Yeah, right. Yeah. About 10 different people that are all looking for me.
All right. Coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is my pick. This is another new Ozzy Osbourne song. This is Degradation Whoa. Rules featuring Tony Iommi. So this is like a mini Sabbath reunion.
Whoa. Wow. I didn't see the harmonica coming in there.
Neither did I.
Is that a first on a Black Sabbath? I know it's not officially Sabbath, but I've never heard a harmonica coming in ever before.
I know Megadeth did that on Euthanasia, and it was like they were thinking they made a big, bold choice. There's a studio footage of that, and It's really funny because they don't all agree on the use of harmonica. Like, you can see some of them like, dude, that's not metal. Like, you can't bring harmonica. And then one of them's like, dude, that's almost like the most metal thing we could do. You know,
harmonica. New.
Yeah. It does work well.
Like, I thought it sounded good.
Yeah. It almost sounded like a guitar note.
When did that? That's this year?
Yeah. And I'm really.
That's what Ozzy's voice sounds like.
I'm
this
really
year?
Struck Crazy. By this new Ozzy shit because he sounds really good. And it's like something's up. Maybe they pumped him full of this drugs, you know, some of this.
Yeah. They get a Ozzy impersonator to sing behind him, you know?
Right.
It's him, but it's not him.
It's a deep fake.
Yeah.
Or they pump him full of these like Joe Rogan drugs. Like they give him like testosterone and growth hormone.
Horse tranquilizer.
Yeah. and prop him up to a mic. But yeah, there's something mysterious about how good it sounds. But I'm happy it does sound like that.
Yeah, it sounds like they're at the top of their game.
Yeah. Okay, coming in at number two.
Number two.
Will, this technically breaks our hot picks rules, but we'll allow it.
Do you want me to do the new-ish Belle and Sebastian song that came out this year instead?
Sure.
Do you want to do unnecessary that. Drama?
Look at that, like a true improviser.
You pivoted like that was crazy.
Yeah. Wait, what was it called?
Unnecessary drama.
Unnecessary drama. If I can find it.
Sorry that I'm dropping this on you while we're live and doing the show. Should I talk about it while you're looking for it?
No, I got it. I got it. Here we go.
Do some liner notes while he searches. Oh, there's some harmonica.
Yep.
Really? Good to hear.
This is good.
Yeah, this is cool.
You like it?
I do.
Are they usually this energetic? Sounds like they get
they do usually have a track or two where they go into that mode.
We bring it up for a couple.
So they'll have like every album of Belle and Sebastian, they'll have one or two tracks that is kind of like that, and the rest of it heads right back into their wistful, where they like to live.
Okay.
The traditional Belle and Sebastian sound. But yeah, they'll have like Another Sunny Day. It was an old 2004 track by them that was real happy and up. And they'll Get Me Away From Here, I'm Dying is pretty bouncy. That's off of...
Sounds like it.
That's from like 90. I know it doesn't sound like it, but they're one of these like sad lyrics, happy music bands.
Right.
But I'm a huge Belle and Sebastian fan. So, I mean, their prime is definitely in the aughts. But like I was telling Howard, they... they're one of the bands that just came out with a new album last year. Like ABBA came out with a new album.
Yeah. That was a shocker.
Year. Bell and Sebastian was this year. I think it was April. But I don't know. It's nothing revolutionary. If you're not already a Bell and Sebastian fan, I don't think this album is going to like convert you. But if you are a fan like I am, you'll be very happy with this recent album.
I'm not a huge fan of them, but just to know that they have those faster songs, I would give them another look.
Oh, yeah. They got like, I would say, 6 or 7 really solid, happy candy pop songs that are great.
That's all you need. A handful. Like we did Neil Young's upbeat songs. He's only got about 3 or 4. But
he can do it when he wants
to. Stick them together. You got a hot little fun party there. And it's Neil Young.
Yeah. And I haven't broken the Hot Picks rules. I was going to play Only Shallow by Loveless, which was 1990. But I just heard that for the first time last week. Like, oh, I finally.
It's a new to you pick. It's a hot to you pick.
And I just been hearing about My Bloody Valentine my whole life. I actually have tried to listen to it, never got into it. And then last week, my mind exploded and I listened to it for like 24 hours.
Oh, really? It clicked?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I've yet to have that full moment, but I know the story, like the influence of it for sure. But especially guitar playing and everything.
Yeah. Tones and stuff.
Yeah. Just using sound more than riffs. You know, and like exploring how far distortion can go before it starts sounding just like an ambience.
Anyway, but
black metal does that actually too.
Cool.
Is that what you kids are doing in there? It sounds like a headache to me. The parents of those bands. I bet their parents didn't get it.
It is a fascinating thing, though, because it's like you start out just doing like riffs, but it's in that heavy tone. But then to just at one point discover like the tone itself just taking you to a weird drugged out place.
Yeah.
And just like sitting there and like, this is something more than, you know, music.
It's or transcendent.
Tone. I mean, I've tricked us into talking about this. But the My Bloody Valentine album, I don't know. All of a sudden, I could see it. It just like clicked, and I could. It actually had tons of riffs in a weird way, like tons of hooks.
Yeah, yeah. Not discounting that for sure.
I hadn't been able to hear it that way. Uh huh. And then it suddenly is like, oh, this is actually in a lot of ways a really simple album, in a way that I appreciated. Anyway. But
maybe you'll also have some sexual epiphanies as well.
Yes, yes.
You weren't into that will start to appeal to you.
Yeah, great point. Maybe that means my brain's ready for all kinds of things.
It's changing you. This album is grooming you. Right on. All right.
Okay, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Howard's second pick. This is Megan Thee Stallion with Budget. It's about hard numbers.
You niggas gotta be on something. What's the substance? You hoes broke. Get the cane, get the crutches. I give them face, give them body, give them luscious. What's the price? Up it. I don't even know how I'm getting through the airport, packing around all this heat. I like my hair to my ass, and I like my niggas down on their knees. Y'all hoes getting rolled like a chauffeur.
How about that beat? Come on.
He wanna ride up, but ain't bought a car. How you expect me to show up? Holy man, I chase, been dead for a long time. Face on the front of this paper. Ay, this pussy bougie, this pussy choosy. Pussy don't do no favors. Every time my peephole's moving like me, I gotta switch it up. But this shit don't never hit quite like this, cause your budget ain't big enough. Ay, easy does it. These bitches ain't busting shit. These bitches
wow.
Woo! How about that beat?
That's a hot, hot pick.
Yeah.
Say, Megan Thee Stallion does not sound like she's leaning against a wall. She is
She
leaning forward and intentional.
Yeah, she's committed. And I love the beat. I don't know what's going on there, but if people start doing that, I think we got a good era of rap ahead of us.
Yeah, I like that beat too.
Right on.
Kind of goofy sounding.
Yeah. It's no Hysteria by Def Leppard, but it's
no. But it is lo-fi, so it is in that way it's stereo, mono stereo.
Yeah,
Howard, your knowledge of music always astounds me. Your enthusiasm and appetite for new music, it always blows me away. I love it.
Wow. Well, to God, thank you. I mean, you brought in a bunch of bands I didn't know about. So touche, back at you.
Thank you, man. Right on. I try to stay alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's a new sound out there. I'll check it out. I mean, like, it's also weird, too. Just so much rap music is made by really young people, you know, just to see a song come out like that FNF one. If you watch the video, it's just odd just to think that, like, all this thought that you have about music and all these songs that you've heard, and then somebody who's like 15 can just blow you away with the freshness of what they're doing. It's always exciting. Right on.
Yes, I agree.
Hey, people saw you at the big Comedy Bang Bang Festival. Where else would you like to steer them?
Hey, if you're interested in some Will Hines comedy enterprises, you know, first of all, go to my Instagram, Willie B. Hines, WILLIEBHINES, because I usually promote stuff. I'm actually going on the CBB tour. I'm going to be in the Detroit, Cleveland, and Toronto dates. So if you're listening and you're a fan of the Comedy Bang Bang and you're in the Detroit, Cleveland, or Toronto area, and you were on the fence and a little deadpan seat of your pants humor from Will Hines will make you lean sustained onto the ticket-buying side of the fence.
Get sustained over threat.
I am the sustained threat of the Comedy Bang Bang ensemble. So maybe come on out if you're Detroit, Cleveland, or Toronto, the CBB tour, or just follow my Instagram for the various dumb shit that I do. And watch the reboot of Night Court. I'm in the first scene of the pilot, 4 lines. Count them.
Check it out. That thing's going to be getting off to a hot start. Mm-hmm. And and check out the podcast as well.
We're just going to talk about the Beatles.
And screw it, we're just going to talk about comics. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I do Beatles with Brett, Joel, and our friend Katie Plattner. And then me and my brother Kevin do a comic book one. And my brother has an insane encyclopedic knowledge of comics, and we get into it. So it's pretty fun.
Whoa. Okay. That's Gallagher great. Brothers of comics.
Yeah, I'm number two. He's one. He's smashing the watermelons, and then I'm dressing up like him and trying to act like I do it too.
Okay, I was thinking Noel and Liam, but we
that's pretty good.
I love that there'd be two Gallagher brothers.
I totally didn't even two think sets. Of the much cooler are. Brothers.
It is odd. They are both famous and unique brothers. Start. I guess we're going to check you out on tour.
Oh, yeah. Come out to Comedy Bang Bang live. There's still tickets available, I think, throughout the rest of the tour. So look it up, cbbworld.com/tour. And most importantly, go to whochartedpod.com. If you like the show, if you're a fan, you're going to get way, way, way more of it if you sign up for our chart mart.
One there you go. Get options. To the chart mart. You can get all the old Who Charted, Supreme Streams, and Escape songs, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, check and the new out. Two Charted. We record Two Charted after the show. What did you call it? Chit Chart? I think we should have called it that. Oh, yeah, we
chit chart. Really? We chit chart and we chart chit. Yeah. Absolutely check out all that. And check out all the other programs. Head on over to haveasummer.com/shop. And we will see you right here next week on
Who Charted.